Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Ah! many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And mess around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't Lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he can fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Brother Greg Dredd with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And we
some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos? DVD? CD? Masterpiece? Charlie's Angels?
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least three.
Man, what the fuck are you talking about?
P! Look around, man. See what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pies and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money. Right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. All the real ball of successful folks are sellers.
and all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buying. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm going to get my own business. Change the game.
All right, that's from the movie Baby Boy. And today, our podcast is titled Makers, Sellers, Buyers, and You. Now, in the movie, what you just heard, that clip out of the movie Baby Boy by John Singleton, there's one piece of the puzzle wasn't mentioned, and that's makers. People who make things, manufacturers. So you basically have, in a simplified global commerce, we have three types of people on this planet when we're speaking about commerce. Makers or manufacturers, people that produce something. Sellers, they necessarily do not make or manufacture anything, but they take a finished product and they sell it. And then, of course, buyers. That's the de facto food chain when we're talking about wealth. Now, let's start at the bottom. Buyers, and all three are important, buyers, they consume things, but that's all they do. That's all they do. They might have a 9-to-5. They might work 2-3 jobs, what have you, but they're consumers. They don't produce anything, all right? They have nothing to sell, so they're straight consumers. Matter of fact, if you go into the social services office, more than likely the common denominator, or anybody falling on hard times, the common denominator is they're consumers, but they don't have a product that they make. Going up the food chain, we have sellers. They necessarily don't make anything, they don't produce or manufacture anything, but they take a finished product and they sell it. And then you have makers. All right. Now, just some examples because they're all around us. Let's start with makers. All right. At McDonald's, well, the McDonald's brothers, and you might want to read the book Grinding It Out or watch the movie The Founder, but the McDonald's brothers, they manufactured hamburgers. That was what they made. Hamburgers, cheeseburgers, fries. That's what they made. Ray Kroc came along, and they also sold them. So they had a two-on-one system. They would make the product, and they would sell it. Ray Kroc came along. Now, Ray Kroc was, at the time he met them, he was a milkshake salesman, machine salesman. But what he did was he essentially franchised the system. And what he did was he built the locations. He got into the real estate game with that. And that's how McDonald's, that's the McDonald's we know today. All right. But both of these, Ray Kroc and the McDonald's brothers, and Ray Kroc became a billionaire. Okay. Because consumers or buyers, we buy those burgers, fries, milkshakes, and all that. All right. It can be anything. Find something that you can make or you can learn how to make. Nike, the shoe company. The owner of that, who's now a billionaire, he basically is a salesman. And he had a shoe design and he went to Asia, contracted out with people who knew how to make the shoe, the idea that he had in his head or down on paper, as they call it, the specs. And in China, like I say, they lead the world. They leave everybody behind when it comes to manufacturing. But try to get on, and all of these overlap, can overlap, but oftentimes the average buyer on a critical mass basis, the average buyer is not a seller of anything, and the average buyer doesn't make anything. Henry Ford, the late Henry Ford, who was a bicycle repair guy originally, all right, when he started to learn how to assemble cars, you know, because he, I mean, it wasn't a big leap if you think about it. He knew how to assemble and disassemble bicycles, so, you know, automobiles at the time, he wasn't the inventor of it or nothing like that, but I think at first with the Model T, it took maybe on average 2 to 3 months to make a Model T that had a little over 1,000 parts. And then he got the system down where he can make a Model T with at least 1,000 parts or more within 90 minutes. And now with Ford, I believe they produce or they make something like 9 to 12 cars per minute. Toyota, an average Toyota might have a car, might have about 30,000 parts. And they make 30 cars per minute. One of the Boeing aircraft, 737 or something like that, has 6 million parts. And it takes them about 9 days on average to assemble all of that. So now you don't have to have nothing complicated or advanced like that, you know, cars or planes and all that. But maybe you're good at making cupcakes or baking cakes. Maybe you can cook a real good fish dinner or chicken dinner, whatever it might be. Maybe you're good at making socks or knitting, whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. If you got a financial problem right now, what I would suggest, because the way I look at things is there's financial offense and there's financial defense. A lot of people, when they have a problem, particularly of the financial nature, particularly if it looks like it's going to be severe or it is severe, they say, well, look, let me go hire a lawyer. And they're thinking automatically defense. What I want people to start thinking first out the bat is financial offense. And that financial offense is, what can I make? And then produce in abundance and then sell them. Now, you might have to organize a team eventually. But because, like, say, makers, you know, you can make something, but you can either have an in-house sales staff or you can contract it out. Just like the automakers, or let's go back to Toyota. Toyota makes 30 cars per minute. That sounds good, but the next step in that, they need a way for those cars to get to the consumer. So they have dealerships. And the dealerships, they don't make anything. Okay. Now, they might service the car and everything, but the dealerships essentially sell the cars that Toyota produces. All right. And then the consumer comes into one of the dealerships and then purchases a product. McDonald's produces the burger, fries, shake, or whatever. They make it there on site, and then they sell what they make to the consumer who comes in through the front door, side door, or go through the drive-thru these days. And we got another dimension these days. Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub. We have apps on the phone now where from grocery shopping to fast food to whatever can be delivered to your door. Amazon doesn't really make anything. Amazon is a platform for people to sell. Because he has a platform that enables people to sell whatever they're going to sell via e-commerce. And that's why Jeff Bezos is either the wealthiest man in the world or he's up there. He made a website. To be honest about it, he started off selling, books. You know, somebody would order a book, he'd get the money and buy the book and then go to the local post office and then was moved on up to shoes or what have you. Now, you know, Amazon is Amazon. They got movies and all this other stuff now. So he made what? Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg basically, because what Facebook is basically a glorified website. Mark Zuckerberg made a website. So pick something that you've already done successfully and just concentrate on scaling that. Or maybe you haven't done it, but you would like to learn how to make something. And it could be anything. Make a pair of shoes, make some socks, make cupcakes, make a tiny house, make a big house, make a guitar, whatever it might be. Because there's an infinite amount of things that you can make and learn how to make. Because, see, let's use a cupcake. Let's say you don't know how to make cupcakes, so you go to the store and you get a box of Duncan Hines cupcake mix or whatever it might be, and the instructions are right there. You buy the equipment. Let's say you already have a stove at home or somebody, a friend or a family member that you can go use their oven. So you got access to an oven, the cupcake tray, or whatever you make, the mold that makes cupcakes, and then the icings or whatever, you might even think of something creative. YouTube's got a different creative ideas on icings and frostings. And you make a batch of cupcakes, and then you start selling. You know, or maybe, now I don't know how the Girl Scouts do it, you know, Girl Scout cookies. I don't know how that's, now the actual Girl Scouts, they don't make anything. They just sell those boxes. Who actually makes those cookies, and you know what? I might buy a box or look it up online. Do they make those in China, too? I don't know. But find something that you can make. Maybe you already know how to do it, or find something that you would be interested in learning how to make. And then what way are you going to sell it? What way are you going to get that product that you made out to the public? You know, you can go to farmers market. There's one of those YouTuber that I watch. She's in her 20s, young mother. She's got like two kids now, married. It's a family business. She likes to make children's clothing. And she's pretty good at it. And she just started making stuff at home and going to the local farmer's market. And then the orders were coming in from that, and then she started an Etsy website and a YouTube channel. And now she's moved, and I've been following her since the pandemic. They've moved twice, her and her husband and the young family, and they had to move to a bigger house because they needed the space. They needed the garage and the basement serve as a warehouse and a production facility. And a lot of times she'll even do a live stream on YouTube. And you can see her taking orders, making orders, fulfilling orders, you know, very transparent. And then her and her husband, you know, they'll go to the post office and then they'll ship, or UPS or wherever they go to now. And I'm figuring at this point they might be having people come to them and pick up the shipment. But that's how they've been rolling. And she just makes she's got two young kids. One, I think, is a toddler still. And one, the other one might be no more than 4 or 5 years old tops. But that's what she does. Now, there's another guy I watch, China Mac. He's a rapper. I don't watch his, I'm not into his music or nothing like that. But China Mac has a channel on YouTube also. He's on Instagram. China Mac, now, I'm looking at his music, might be a way of him advertising. And I don't know if he does concerts or anything like that, but this is one way that China Mac does make money. Okay, I got booted out. Sorry about that, folks. The call just dropped, and I forgot what I was. Anyway, but you got to learn how to. Actually, if you don't know how to make anything, think about seriously what you can make, and then how are you going to sell it? How are you going to get it to that buyer, that consumer out there? So that's what I would call the complete picture based on the baby boy thing of buyers and sellers. I'm saying for the complete picture, they're makers, sellers, and buyers. And if you've got a financial problem, particularly a severe financial problem, where you just owe a bunch of money or whatever, don't panic. Just get quiet and think about, number one, okay, what have I done? Number one, what can I make? What can I make? And am I good at, it could be something simple as cooks. Famous Amos became rich with his chocolate chip cookies. And when he came out, there was a lot of chocolate chip cookies on the market already. But it worked. I mean, he made chocolate. He made them unique, and they sold. Mrs. Fields, same thing. All right. A lot of your mega churches, the only thing that they could sell or make, how many churches have been built off of chicken dinners? How many? The financial tool of fish dinners. That you've made, or you can partner up with somebody who's good at making whatever you can think of, and then put together how are you going to sell it? How are you going to get it out to that customer out there that will buy, who likes to eat chicken dinners, who likes to buy fish dinners? Okay. If you think about it, particularly with a church that sells fish dinners, you know, fish dinners or chicken dinners or whatever, they're basically selling to a captive market. Sometimes they might, and that's the members that are part of the church. Other times they might sell to the captive market of the church, or they might make up some flyers and go around to the neighborhood. All right, fish dinners at this particular church on whatever. I know of one church down where I'm at on, I forgot what night it is, Tuesday or Wednesday nights or whatever. They have free, you can come in and get a free meal. You can get a free meal, and then they have, you know, Bible study after that. And, you know, of course, with Bible study or anything like that, they're going to pass the hat. So, you know, that's how they, that's one of the plans that they use to keep sustainable and whatnot. So, anyway, but if you got a severe financial problem, think of something that you can make or you can learn how to make, or you can partner with somebody who already knows how to make something, and then you guys come up with a strategy on how to move it, how to market it. You know, because today you got apps, you got Facebook Marketplace, you got Craigslist, OfferUp. There's a lot of ways to move things locally, as well as regionally, as well as nationally, as well as internationally, the ways to move it. And, you know, I mean, YouTube's got a whole bunch of videos on how to do stuff. So some of you might need, I don't know, $10,000. You don't know how you're going to come up with it. How many cupcakes do you have to sell? I don't know what cupcakes go retail for these days, but or Girl Scout cookies. But think of something that you can make. Now, on YouTube, you have a lot of YouTubers that sell merchandise. They sell hoodies, baseball hats, coffee mugs, things of that nature. And there's a company or companies that basically, you know, I mean, you just offer it up. You use your YouTube page to sell it. And then there's another company that actually produces the product that, you know, if you're selling hoodies or something like that. All right. So if you're not a maker, think about becoming. And this includes, I mean, farmers are makers. Farmers basically make food. Now, if you look at the five, a good percentage of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence fell into this maker thing. The planters or the people who own plantations, they made food by growing it. Or they made cash crops like cotton, which they can sell so people can make, that's, cotton's the raw material where you can make clothes. Another fabric. So they made something. So it's, see, that's why, from my point of view, because some people say that this country wasn't designed for black people. I say it was designed for capitalists who placed themselves in a position of making things. Now, back in February of this year, what we do is, around here, we do slave, this year we did Slave Entrepreneur Month. If you look at the slave artisans, people that made brooms, people that made houses, I mean, built houses, people who built furniture, you know, slaves who built bridges and infrastructure, those were the slaves that were able to earn enough money to buy their freedom. And then, like, I gave examples of, you know, someone over to Africa and started their own nation, Republic of Africa, the Republic of Maryland, which is now Maryland County, Liberia. Or Greenville, Liberia, which still exists today. That was started by slave artisans, and artisans are people who make things, who manufacture things. this country, actually the whole globe, to be honest about it, the people who move from one position to the next are the makers. I would say that's the number one thing to strive for. Number two on the food chain, because after you make it, you've got to have some kind of way to sell it. And then the people that you want to sell it to are your buyers.
Brother, break bread with me, brother. Got that pure cake, no butter, no sugar. Asiatic, straight like my brother's soul. Yes, indeed. 7-Up cake, we got pound cake. And we
some of that pound cake.
Yes, indeed, brother. There you go. Thank you, brother. You have a good day today. Salam.
Today I begin a new life. For I am the master of my abilities. And today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
What?
I said, today I begin a new life, for I am the master of my abilities, and today is going to be a great and beautiful day.
Pillows, pillows, goose down, $35.
P, you a buyer or a seller?
What? Videos, homie. Videos, DVDs, CDs, Masterpiece, Charlie's Angels.
Look at yourself.
How many millionaires you got on, bruh? I count at least three. Man, what the fuck are you talking about? P, look around, man. You see what I see? I see money. Look at my man over there selling t-shirts. Brother over there selling pods and paper. Cake man over there. Everybody moving, making money, right? While we standing still being broke. I figured all this shit out, man. All this. This whole world moves forward through transactions. Commerce, nigga. The exchange of goods and services. Mm. All the real baller successful folks are sellers. And all the broke-ass people playing catch-up are buyers. I ain't trying to go out like that, Pete. I'm going to be a seller. I'm gonna get my own business. Change the game.
Now, if you listen to the background of some of the guys that came up to these guys in the parking lot of the film Baby Boy. Matter of fact, if you go to YouTube and type in Baby Boy Buyers and Sellers, the little 2-minute clip will come up so you can get a visual on it. I mean, some of the things they were selling, T-shirts. There are people that have sent their kids through college just by selling T-shirts, socks, underwear, stuff like that. You know, pound cake or any kind of dessert. So everything, it was nothing complicated that was being sold at the location that, you know, where this film was done. All right. If you look at... another good example is the late Elijah Muhammad. When he passed away, he passed with, I think, $12 to $14 million in at least one bank account, to say nothing of the other assets that he had accumulated. And this is a guy with a fifth or sixth grade formal education. That was it. But, you know, he had a newspaper filing call. That's still sold today. It's a niche market newspaper. It's a niche market newspaper. All right. It's not like the USA Today or anything like that, but it's a niche market newspaper. And they've got, wherever they are, you know, in the United States or globally, that paper is sold. Right. Bean pie. All right. I don't know if the Supreme Bean Pie Company, I haven't bought one in a while, but, you know, somebody's making money by selling those bean pies. You know, in the nation, you have a lot of people that have their own business. So I'm just thinking somebody within the Nation of Islam makes bean pies and they sell them. You're not going to find them in Piggly Wiggly, Giant, Safeway. You're not going to find them in Whole Foods. That's okay. They have their niche of distribution, and they've been selling year after year, decade after decade with the bean pies. They also have a bakery. The Amish do the same thing, and so do the Mennonites. You know, more than likely, you're not going to buy a shoe fly pie at Whole Foods. Or Wegmans, which I think I heard is the rave now. But that's okay. You have some Amish and Mennonites. They have their own farmer's market. They're not trying to get in on the shelf at Wegmans or Skag Albertsons or Giant Safeway, Windex, or whatever. They set up their own system where they make it and they sell it. They cut out all the middlemen. And you've got some Amish, there's no shortage of Amish families that take in millions of dollars a year. I mean, some take $5 or $10 million a year. They make simple stuff, shoe fire pliers, dinner rolls, you know, other pastries and baked goods. You also have them making furniture, nothing fancy. Nothing fancy. You know, you're probably not going to find them, not even on Amazon. But they have their way. They have their distribution system, and they make it. Some of them have, matter of fact, a lady that was trying to rent from me earlier this year, she told me about Yoder, and matter of fact, since we're online, and tomorrow, people, due to request, we're going to do a podcast on the opioid crisis, somebody requested that, so that's tomorrow. We're going to cover the opioid crisis and all that. Yoder, Kansas. Now, let's read about this, because this is what I would like to do with the land that we've got, or actually more land. But anyway, Yoder is, we're talking about Yoder, Kansas. That's spelled Y-O-D-E-R, Yoder, Kansas. Yoder is an unincorporated community in Reno County, Kansas. In the United States, the 2020 population of the community is 165 people. Okay. And that's Yoder and nearby areas. It's located 10 miles outside of southeast of Hutchinson, Kansas. The reason why this young lady told me about Yoder, Kansas, is because in Yoder, the Amish community, it's an Amish community that their economy is based on, they have a town of 165 people. That's not a whole lot of people. Where they make stuff and they sell it. All right, I'm going to play 5 minutes of Factory City. I'm going to just play 5 minutes of it because I know a lot of y'all have heard it before. I'm going to just play 5 minutes of it because I need to take a quick break, maybe some of you. So 5 minutes, if you got to go to the bathroom, hit the head, drink a glass of water, get some mail or whatever. You got 5 minutes until we're going to be back. If you got any comments or suggestions, 619-768-2945. I'll be taking calls if you want to talk about it or talk about any trending topics in 5 minutes. We just want to play 5 minutes of this. That's all.
What's it like to live where you work? For most of us, that's unthinkable. But imagine living and working at one of the biggest factories in the world. A workplace the size of Monaco. For these 17,000 employees, it's reality. They come from all over China, seeking a brighter future at this factory called Yupa. Workers craft coffee makers, irons, and electric grills in staggering quantities every single day. But Yupa is more than a steady paycheck. It's home. People get married here. They send their kids to school here. But the work never stops. Yupa's managers are on a mission to produce new products for every corner of the globe that could forever change the way we think of made in China. Step behind the closed doors of modern China into a factory the size of a city. Welcome to the place that calls itself Factory of the World. By the time you finish watching this program, Yupa's 17,000 Chinese workers will produce nearly 20,000 electrical appliances. Every day they churn out 60,000 irons. Every month, Yupa makes 36,000 coffee makers. That's two new machines for every Starbucks on the planet. And every year, these laborers produce a staggering 18 million electric grills. Stacked side by side, they span the Atlantic from New York to London. Chances are you own something built right here. Factories like these don't exist in North America or Europe. But they're not uncommon in China, where labor is cheap. Yupa runs on human sweat alone. No need for robots. To ensure non-stop production, workers need a steady stream of parts. Someone has to make sure those parts get to the right place in time. This is Ming Long Pa. He started work at Yupa in 1994.
I'm in charge of production control. Production control is the brain of the factory. Its main function is to coordinate each department.
If any of Yupa's factories run out of parts, Mr. He's job is on the line.
The production line cannot wait. We have to guarantee that our production is smooth. Running out of materials would affect our efficiency, affect our productivity, and affect our revenue. So I have to fix this in the shortest time possible.
Today, a problem at the iron factory needs smoothing out. Workers on the iron line are low on a crucial part. To keep up production, they need 2,000 units, and they need them now.
Just now I found out the main problems here at the iron department. One major problem is the case for model 603. They need 2,000 right now.
Traditional plants use outside suppliers for their components, not Yupa. To slash costs and stay competitive, Yupa builds its own parts on site. So Mr. He's supplier is only a bike ride away.
有多少数量？三千个是吧？三千个，赶快送过来。好，这边没有了，已经没有了。是是。
But even the supplier is dangerously low on stock.
大概因为现在生产线已经停掉了，然后我大概要赶快把它送过去哈。好的，一点钟准时安排送料。对对对。
Mr. He has found barely enough parts to last the day.
好，谢谢谢谢。好。
When he gets another urgent call. Now the grill factory is low on a crucial component. Grills are the company's most profitable products. Yupa started producing one line of grills in 1994. Now, 60 assembly lines churn out 800 different models. Workers make one grill every 12 seconds. That's 50,000 grills per day, or 1.5 million per month. Enough grills for every person in Dallas. Grills bring in $350 million a year. But Yupa wants more. Little wonder Lu Jinye acts like a general leading his troops to war. By next year, managers expect workers to crank out $500 million worth of grills. Yupa's profits have to rise to outmuscle the competition. Mr. Ye supervises 850 workers on 30 lines.
We have to coordinate all these workers and pull all their thoughts into one. It takes teamwork to accomplish our goals, to get the results we want.
Mr. Ye is obsessed with quality control. His aim? Boost output without compromising quality. In a factory this big, with a production run so massive, even the hyper-efficient Mr. Ye hits a roadblock.
This holder piece holds the grill plate. What we're seeing now is the assembly of this piece. The problem is the size. It's the wrong size.
They've run out of part number 2627. It attaches the core heating element to the frame. Without this simple component, assembly lines will shut down. Unless Mr. Ha finds a fresh supply. And soon.
If we don't get them the parts, 6 production lines will have to stop.
When every part is on hand, grills assemble like a simple puzzle. Wires are linked to the heating element, and the element is fixed to the plate.
When it's not locked down properly, it will fall off. If it falls off, it will burn the hands of our customers and consumers. This job is very important.
Then it's time to connect the power cord.
The brown wire is live and the green wire is neutral. The one with the writing on it matches the brown wire. Connect them and that makes the wire live.
Each grill is inspected for flaws in construction or appearance. Finally, every grill is tested to make sure everything is in working order. On a typical day, Mr. Ye's team must make 700 of Yupa's 50,000 grills. Missing parts cause delays, cost Yupa a fortune, and force workers into overtime to meet their quota. Finding the missing parts falls to Mr. Ha, and the pressure is on. Mr. He finally arrives, and he has good news. He's found 2,000 parts to keep the lines moving, and 50,000 more are on the way. Mr. He's day has ended on a high note. He heads home to a company-subsidized apartment only minutes away. His wife, Hong Zhang-yu, also works for the plant. Together, they lead a life of relative luxury. Family life in China is a communal affair. His parents and his in-laws live here, thanks to Yupa. It's one more reason workers are fiercely loyal to their company.
Our products all have the Made in China tag. I hope our products can bring to consumers a sense of joy, a sense of it's worth it. This is my biggest wish.
Fulfilling that wish will come at a cost.
Okay, that's about 5 minutes or so. Factory City, you can watch that video in its entirety, or documentary actually. On YouTube, it's on there for free. I went on Amazon and purchased it, $9 or whatever. I purchased it, the digital copy, because there's just a lot in there. But you can look at it for free as many times as you want on YouTube. Okay, tomorrow we're going to cover opioids and the opioid crisis. That's by request. And let's see what else we got to cover. This comes from you guys. Let's see. We're going to cover that tomorrow. Wait a minute. We're going to cover, what's tomorrow, Thursday? All right. Black Neighborhood Security Force. We're going to cover that Friday. We'll cover that Friday. And in both days, we're going to touch on, and hopefully we can get somebody on next week, from Yoder, Kansas. But they got some towns that are smaller than that. That, you know, it's, you know, just a little handful of people. And they got their village going just by that. So in any event, if anybody has any trending topics, anything you guys want to put out there, anything you guys want to promote, 619-768-2945, that's the call-in number right now if you want to do that. I just found a clip I wanted to play, but I done froze up my board. Okay. Or in your neck of the woods, what's your local church or what's your community doing? What are you guys making and selling? If anybody's got anything on that. I'm just playing around with my board here. Okay. All right, well, what are you guys thinking about it? Let's listen to Ball of Confusion.
Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration. walking around with their heads in the sky. City's a flame in the summertime. Control the sound, so shooting rockets to the moon. Kids going up to soon. Politicians say more taxes will solve everything.
And the band played on.
I want you to join me with something real quick right online. I want you to go to your favorite search engine, and I want you to type in YoderKansas.com. That's Y-O-D-E-R, Yoder, Kansas, K-A-N-S-A-S, YoderKansas.com. Type in YoderKansas.com. I'm on that site right now. This is, I hope the young lady that Gabe told me, turned me on to Yoder, Kansas, her phone's been cut off. Hopefully she'll get it cut back on. But anyway, I consider her an angel. An angel is a messenger. Listen, if you're there, 619-768-2945. Call me up. Let's go over it together. But once again, Yoder, Kansas, go 165 people. All right. Now, on their page, I want you to go to their merchants. At the top of the page, click on your merchants. These are the people that are in Yoder. Okay. And this is something, matter of fact, I'm going to be on the horn with Pleasant Stephens within the next hour, I know. Your merchants. Okay. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is why I titled today's podcast. Matter of fact, you know what? We're going to take about 15 minutes out of each podcast, no matter what we're talking about, of every day from here on out, on makers, sellers, and buyers. If you click on Yoder Merchants, let's just go through them. I'm going to announce, and then we're going to go, you know, select some pages. If you got any suggestions, just click on one if you're already in the studio. Blue Shed Antiques and Guns, Bullseye Grill, Carriage Quilting Restaurant and Bakery, Eckley Energy, Great Plains Family Medicine, Heritage Tours, Hitchin Pulse RVs, Journey Mennonite Church, Kansas Station Yoder Meats, King Solar, Little House in Yoder. All right, let's go back to the top of the list. Because I'm looking at, you know, I don't have to we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just see what works. All right, I'm clicking on Blue Shed Antiques and Guns. Now these, hold on, let me count this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Now we got 11 merchants here. By my count, just 11. All right. Blue Shed Antiques and Guns. All right, they sell. They're open Saturday, 9 to 5. All right, they sell knives, old toys, glassware, old tools, military coins, and lots of miscellaneous. They buy, sell, and trade. All right, so the name of their business is called Blue Shed. Let's scroll down to Eckley Energy, because I'm interested in that. Okay, Eckley Energy, which is probably an energy co-op. I'm gonna call Nick today. Find out what they're selling. We know they're selling energy. All right. Great Plains Family Medicine. Let's click on them. Okay, we are seeing patients in our new downtown Yoder practice. One of the biggest and most important differences is your unlimited access to your doctor. Okay, house calls, annual visits. Okay, wholesale labs and medication. All right, let's go down to the little house. All right, hold it. Let's go to King Solar. Yeah, you know I like solar. Okay, King Solar headquarters right here in Yoder. King Solar has been providing clean, renewable energy in South and Central Kansas since 1982. Mike Horst, that's a German name, and his team can take care of everything on your behalf, from obtaining permits to making final connection. All right, you know I'll be calling Mike. The little house in Yoder. Let's see what they're talking about. Okay, little house in Yoder, built in the 1800s. The renovations of our little house were completed in 2015. The little house can accommodate 4 people. It has a bath and a half, a kitchen. All right. So it looks like if you just want to come, you need accommodations. You know, sounds like a little bed and breakfast there. And there's one other thing I just saw pop up. Let's see. This is at the very bottom. Auto Contracting. Since 2008, Paul Otto and his crew at Auto Contracting have been constructing quality post-farm buildings in the south of central Kansas area, having a 4-man crew that has a background experience in the post-frame industry, makes for very competitive prices. Our facility is located at 2705 in Yoder, Kansas. And then you see some of the buildings that they've made. All right. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, let's go to Kansas. Kansas Station Yoder Meats. Okay, let's see what they're about. Yoder Meats, a taste of old-fashioned flavor. Yoder Meats and Kansas Station, two great stores under one big roof. Okay, they partnered. All right, then you see what, you know, what their digs look like. There's a church there. Journey Mennonite Church. All right. Here's what you see, a picture of the church, their address, and services are Sunday at 9:29 a.m. Now, I'm going to use Yoder. Everything I touch when it comes to land is going to be based on these people, and I'm going to make a road trip to Yoder. In the court. Now, let's go back up to Welcome to Yoder, Kansas, and let's scroll over to Parade of Quilts, because we got somebody in the It's My House family up in Chicago, Alzora. I got to see how she's doing. Alzora makes quilts. So Parade of Quilts, join us for this annual event. Annual Parade is sheep. They've got an event there. March 1st to the 31st of the whole month, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily, closed on Sundays. And they have other businesses. They partner with this Precarious Crossing Restaurant, Yoder Furniture Company, Yoder Meats, which we just read about them, Yoder Discount Grocery, Grayson Garment Boutique, Yoder Treasures and Treats, Yoder Thrift Shop, the store. All right. So I'm not reinventing the wheel. Okay. We're just going to, and I'm not leaving, you don't need to march for this. You don't need a million men, or you don't need a million women. I'm counting them again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Friday, this Friday, like I say, tomorrow we're covering opiates by request. Friday, we're covering for 2 hours at least, and we'll probably run overtime. Hopefully we'll run overtime. Yoder, Kansas. And what can we do immediately right now? We've already got land. We don't have a whole lot of land. We just got, well, in Florida, we just got 4 acres. We got 10 acres up in Texas, but right now, we just want to work with the 4. So hopefully I'll have somebody on here Friday from Yoder. If I don't get them this week, we'll get them next week. But Friday, we're covering Yoder, Kansas. I mean, excuse me, Yoder, Kansas. And what can we take from there? Matter of fact, after I end this podcast today, I'm going to definitely be on the phone with some people, some that have been right on this podcast. I'm going to tell them, go look at the website. I'm going to get powwow back with them. And, you know, I'm looking for some people. I'm looking for 10 or 11 people. Okay. In any event, okay, that's about all I got for today. You guys got anything? 619-768-2945. That is the number to call. Because, you know what? What I want to do is basically, I want to set up a bunch of Yoders. Set up a bunch of Yoders. You know? Just a little community, and each business is different. That's one thing from Yoder that we can learn. They have 11 businesses that are not competing against each other. Well, let's take the lady or the person that makes the quilts. There's not 10 quilt companies. They're not two, there's one. You know, King Solar, there's not 2, 3, 4, solar. There's one solar company. That's it. So, maybe some of you can join us. All right, like I say, well, you guys got any trending topics? Any ideas? Okay, well, going once, going twice. All right, nothing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, as compared to the last 2 days, but we've gone overtime, which is always good, we're going to end it early by those standards today. And I'm going to get on the phone, and I'm going to turn people on to Yoder, Kansas, because we're going to hopefully get a panel on here for Friday. And we already got a patch of land. Now we need individual businesses to join in on it. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.